The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
If I can be serious for a minute, without being interrupted.
Excuse me!
What? What?
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
We don't just set the bar. We are the bar.
Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
You are listening to the High Spot Podcast. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside my tag team partner, the trendsetter, Brian Berga. Happy New Year, everybody. 2018 is upon us as we put 2017 in the rear view. We are here. Follow us on all our social media platforms at High Spot Podcast. Like the Facebook page and also hit up the brand new spanking website, highspotpodcast.com. Trendsetter, Happy New Year. It is 2018. Wrestle Kingdom came and went, and man, I'm telling you, so much to talk about there. And also, we've got a great guest lined up for you today. We've got Team España and the Heavenly Bodies. Up and comers is our theme on this show because it is 2018, and we are talking about the future of this business, and the tag team division for WrestlePro really has a lot of bright spots, and two of them are the Heavenly Bodies and Team España. But first and foremost, how are you, Trendsetter?
Good. Doing good, man. Happy New Year to you, too. Happy New Year to the crew listening to right now the show, the High Spot Podcast. But make sure you guys listen to us on iTunes. Like, subscribe to us. We're also available on SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, as well as all the other social media platforms that Jeff mentioned before. Excited for 2018. It really has been, 2017 ended in such a great momentum for us, and to continue on 2018, to start off with something that was so highly anticipated, Alpha versus Omega. Jericho versus Kenny, something that brought back the memories of why Jeff and I love professional wrestling, why we cover it the way we do, and it kind of gave a feeling that this was going to be bigger than you hope it would live up to the hype. I think, and we'll talk about it, I think it did, but ultimately I think it put in a new wave, a new transition for the new year of what New Japan Wrestling could possibly be.
Listen, man, thank God I didn't promise a live tweet or anything like that, because I caught myself because I was kind of like, should I, it's already late, it's like already 10:30, 11 o'clock, should I take a nap and then wake up cranky at like 3 in the morning for Wrestle Kingdom? And I was like, let me try to, pull an all-nighter here, but I couldn't. I got to see the Rumble match, and then I got to see the Young Bucks, but after that, I think I woke up at Omega and Jericho, and then I was like, I'll watch it early in the morning, and that's what I did. God bless you guys that pulled the all-nighter and got to see it, live, not in person, but for those in person, we're jealous.
You basically watched it in its entirety.
Yeah, watched it in its entirety. Man, I gotta tell you, man, the anticipation was amazing.
You still sound tired.
Listen, bro, let's be honest here. This weather this past 2 weeks has been horrible.
Yeah, January 4th, if you were here in the Northeast region, you dealt with a blizzard. So definitely, if you were a true wrestling diehard fan, watching Wrestle Kingdom 12 in a blizzard was pretty enjoyable because you had nothing else to do.
You were a hard worker. You ended up going into work early.
Watching on the bus,
you and seven other people. And, someone told you, what are you watching, dude? Because you had the Japanese feed on.
Oh, yeah.
Which is funny.
I love the commentating from the Japanese feed. It gives you more excitement, like you're actually there. Yeah, just somebody noticed that I was listening to it because I had my headphones on, couldn't find them, didn't want to bother going through my bag to find it. Just listening to it, thinking I wasn't bothering anybody, and somebody says, hey, what are you watching? I was like, oh, I'm watching Wrestle Kingdom. I was like, oh, that's today? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, it's a good thing I reminded you because he ended up watching it on his phone as well. So pretty exciting. It's funny how wrestling unites all of us.
So everyone's running down the card, and we're basically not going to bore you to death and beat it to death because now it's come and gone and everyone's analyzed it, but we got to talk about some of these matches here.
We are going to talk about, to give our take on
of course
it,
of course, the best for people want to hear. They want to hear what the trendsetter and I have to say about this. So we're going to start off again with Alpha versus Omega. The lead up was amazing. Jericho, pure heel Jericho. This is a different incarnation of Chris Jericho. Not the happy-go-lucky guy that was best friends with Kevin Owens in the list. I think he did a great job. I think the match was great. I think that the psychology was amazing. I think Jericho full heel in Japan, again, was another bright spot. And Kenny Omega, you know what? I think it had like such a WWE feel because Jericho was so WWE that I was like, wow, you know, this could be as close as we see to a WWE match. And it was kind of like a WWE style in the beginning. You know, I think Jericho, you made a great point where they each got a chance to lead, you know. And I just thought it was great. I just think that it was a different style for Japanese fans to look at. And the question was, would this be a one-off? Would Kenny Omega win? Would Jericho win? You know, people start kind of booking themselves and like, well, you know, Jericho is his one-time thing with Japan. Is he going to go to Long Beach? Is he going to be there for the California U.S. tour? Will he go back to WWE eventually? So a lot of people were booking this and not just taking it for the match itself. But what I take away from the match was it was just amazing, and it shows you why Kenny Omega is one of the very best and why, to me, Jericho is the greatest of all time.
Yeah, if you look at it from that perspective, I would agree with you because, I mean, we can spend hours here talking about bookings and what should have been the right move and stuff like that. We're not going to do that. Ultimately, what I was looking forward to see if this match would build up to the anticipation. And like I said, early on when we introduced the show, I think it did because ultimately as much pressure as there was probably in all of New Japan, I think all the pressure was on Kenny Omega because this kind of gave proof that Kenny Omega could work with a quote-unquote WWE guy. Now, people who look at Chris Jericho would say, well, he's WCW. He was Mexico. He was New Japan. You know, he's not just a WWE guy, but most of his career has been in WWE. So for him to work with a guy like Kenny Omega, and for the first time these two actually touching each other and working together to produce something that, you know, you'd be naive to think, Jeff, this is going to be a five-star, eight-star match. This wasn't going to be something technical. It was going to show a different side of Kenny Omega. We know all the sides of Chris Jericho. And again, he's done a great job of reinventing himself. He's even gone on record saying, I will always reinvent myself, whether it's in and out of the ring, which proves why how successful Chris Jericho has been. But for Kenny, this had to prove to him and prove to the world that on a bigger stage like this, which is Wrestle Kingdom, their version of WrestleMania, and that's how we compare it, you know, Kenny lived up to the billing, too, of being able to stand toe-to-toe, work the theatrics. And it, to me, the huge anticipation of this was, Jeff, watching two great wrestling minds, in my opinion, a guy like Kenny Omega and his vision for how he wants to change professional wrestling and Chris Jericho of what he actually thinks professional wrestling should be combined together. And you got a great story out of it. Despite how many stars you give it, it's really irrelevant. It lived up to the hype. It lived up to the billing. If we never see it again, it would be a travesty because we'd want to see this again. And, you know, even after the post-fight press conference between Kenny and Jericho, they even kind of gave hints that maybe they will meet again down the road. Who knows? Whether it's New Japan, whether it's WWE. But ultimately, if you're a fan of professional wrestling and you saw this match, it did not... It ceased to not just deliver, but it kind of gave a new vision for me, at least, of a guy like Kenny Omega. Can he carry a company like New Japan? And I know everybody's going to talk about Okada and Naito, and we'll talk about that main event as well. But to me, if you're going to transition anybody to be that olive branch, that bridge that connects the general audience, not just the diehard wrestling fans like ourselves and the crew that's listening, but who's going to translate the general audience to watch a product like New Japan Wrestling, Kenny Omega's your guy.
Kenny Omega lived up to the expectations. I'm not really a fan of Kevin Kelly's commentary. I mean, for at that moment, to tell the critics of Kenny Omega they can go to hell, and we kind of know who he's kind of referring to, like guys like Jim Cornette, I think the moment to do that, I don't think it was appropriate. Really not a big fan of, you know, again, an announcer saying, oh, all the detractors go to hell. Maybe you can say we told you so. There is no shadow of a doubt that he is the best, but kind of to tell him to go to hell is kind of, I think, a little bit too extreme. Kenny Omega proves that he is the hot commodity, that he is not done in New Japan, that he wants to change professional wrestling, and I think that he will do so in the next year. Whether he comes to WWE, that's another question. Do we want Kenny Omega in WWE? I guess some WWE fans want to. They want to see him on the biggest stage. But listen, the biggest stage as far as 2018 was Wrestle Kingdom, and Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega delivered. Listen, I have no critiques of the match whatsoever because from lead up to the bell to the end and to what we saw in the post-match and what we eventually saw the next day, It's tremendous. It's tremendous time now for New Japan Wrestling and for them to head over into the United States in March on this huge momentum. And people are talking about it. I mean, we're going to get to the Royal Rumble in a couple of weeks, which is coming up soon. But right now, people are still talking about New Japan and talking about what's going on in the lead up to Long Beach in March.
Now, let me finish off on this, Jeff. The biggest stage, like you mentioned before, about the Royal Rumble, we're in the road to WrestleMania, believe it or not. It's going to happen here. That is what people all over consider the biggest stage of them all. WWE, WrestleMania, right? The biggest platform you possibly can go. I would debate that, saying that, you know, when you have situations like this with New Japan and Wrestle Kingdom 12, or you have these first-time ever matches, which nowadays in professional wrestling, it's very rare to see that. I think, honestly, whenever that event happens, that's the biggest stage. Now with social media, and I know it becomes a bore when I ask this question, and I apologize to the crew if they get annoyed with it, but I think it has a lot of weight behind it. You know why? Because when I ask talent, when we go down the indie scene, we have guys on the show that have been in WWE in the past, social media is the biggest platform you can possibly be on, because as much as people want to think that WWE, you know, WrestleMania stage, I want to have a WrestleMania moment, you can have a WrestleMania moment, which we saw at Wrestle Kingdom. And honestly, I think it's gotten to the point now where the biggest stage is basically where social media can grasp and where you can watch it. And I think there's a turn in the world of professional wrestling, especially here in 2018, that the biggest stage is up for debate.
Now, you talk about the biggest stage in social media. Before we get to Okada and Naito, let's talk about our High Spot Podcast YouTube channel. It is up and it is running. We've got exclusive interviews with such stars as Alberto El Patron, LAX, Sienna the Savage, Bullet Club members, The Villain, Marty Scurll, Adam Hangman Page, Jay Lethal, Joshua Woods. Plus, you can catch video from High Spot Podcast miniseries, Adventures with the Trendsetter, which is the Trendsetter Brian Berger right here. So make sure you catch our YouTube channel, like and subscribe, because we do it for you guys. Great, great interviews there. And the brand newest one is with LAX and Alberto El Patron. So make sure you check those out, because those are amazing, in our opinion. I think they are 5-star interviews. But back to Okada and Naito. I was kind of surprised, man, because my prediction was Naito was going to win the match. I thought that it was now or never. To me, it kind of was the perfect booking as far as redemption, because
Let's be honest, there's no such thing as perfect booking anymore.
Exactly. You know, you're right. You're right. But if I were to book this, I would have made it a redemption, kind of like John Cena when he had to get that matchup back after losing to The Rock in Florida. So you get Naito getting his opportunity against Okada once again, and I get it. They're trying to push Okada as the best ever in New Japan, an iconic wrestler, a figure for New Japan, the man. We get it. But I just thought people went there to see a crowning of a new champion, because let's face it, Okada had already broken the streak for the longest title reign in New Japan. He's been the champion for the longest time. He's had amazing matches with Kenny Omega. And you thought it was time that, hey, listen, now pass the torch over to Naito. You can have the chase. You can have the rematch. But they went with Okada, which to me, I have no issue with. But I think a lot of fans went there to see Naito become the IWGP heavyweight champion. So I think fans kind of left a little bit disappointed. But you can't go wrong with keeping the belt on Okada.
You can't go wrong. And I want to actually, before I answer this question, I want to ask you a quick question too, talking about being the greatest in New Japan. Is Okada, to me, I think of it differently, but to you, is Okada the face of New Japan right now? Since he is the IWGP heavyweight champion. Is he the face of New Japan?
He is the face of New Japan, but if they want to go broader base, then Kenny Omega is the face of New Japan.
Okay.
Because Okada, I think, again, it's the, not that he speaks bad English, but I think that the language barrier kind of prevents Okada from becoming the face of the company worldwide. Yes, he can be the face of New Japan. I think he is the face of New Japan, but as far as worldwide, you want to send it global? I don't know. I think Kenny Omega is that guy.
Well, I agree with you there. In terms of the main event of Wrestle Kingdom 12, it'd be in high debate what should have been the main event, whether it be the heavyweight championship match or this match, Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho. I think both have their claim to wanting to be the main event. I understand the direction they went to. So basically, after seeing Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho, how could you, you know, be emotionally exhausted to watching this one? But it did live up to its billing. In the early stages, it was kind of like maybe an emotional letdown right now, but towards the end of the match with all the false finishes and really coming to the conclusion that, wow, Okada can actually lose this title. You're right. The way they were booking it, the way it was set up, kind of led you to believe that. But this is why I love professional wrestling so much. As much as we like to think we know what's going to happen, or they're going to go in this direction because that's kind of how they're painting it out to be, they quickly turn around. I think New Japan does a great job of doing that with false finish after false finish. And, you know, depending on what you think about in terms of kicking out after finishers, that's one thing. That's a different debate. But the anticipation for it to actually happen is exciting. It's amazing how the crowd gets into it. Okada retaining the title, I think right now, makes sense, because if you really want it to be worth something, if you really want the impact of somebody defeating Okada for that title, it's got to be Kenny, because they have had historic matches. It's not even right now. Okada won the first one. Second one ended in a draw. Can you imagine the iconic buildup to a match like that, a rematch between these two for the IWGP heavyweight title? It would be amazing if Kenny could be the one to defeat Okada.
I get it, but just want to rewind a little bit there, because I try to insert the fact that I think there should have been a match in between Jericho, Omega, and Okada and Naito. There should have been like a match where we would have had a chance to hold, you know, take a breath.
To regroup.
I don't think both matches should have gone 25 to 40 minutes. I think one should have been a little bit shorter, especially if it's the main event. Let's be honest. You can go back to WrestleMania 18 when The Rock and Hulk Hogan fought each other. Now, it wasn't for a title like Jericho and Omega, but that was the main event. Let's be honest. As much as Okada is the champion, and you want to put the championship last, let's be honest. A lot of people were there because Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho, which is why Kenny Omega is the international, the global face of New Japan. I would have loved to have that matchup on last. I get why it's not, because it's not the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. But then, you know, that's my only gripe. And you talked about the finishes. And
that goes into a whole different debate, too. Traditions rather be, yeah, you know, what we deal with nowadays. Because nowadays, if you look at WWE, you look at other products, the title match isn't necessarily always the last match on the card. Not.
But I would have said it would have been better to put a match in between there. And also, let's be honest, I think that the main event was really Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega, right? Yeah. And then, but I don't think it takes away from the matchup between Okada and Naito, because I think he was really good. Again, world class.
Where does Naito go from here?
Well, that's a great question. Before we even talk about where he goes from here, let's just talk about the rest of the card. Any other match that you like that you just want to talk about here that kind of left an impression on you?
Well, let's talk about it. I mean, we've talked about the two co-main events, right? The Jericho Alpha versus Omega and Kenny Omega. The IWGP Heavyweight Title match, which is the main event, Wrestle Kingdom 12, Okada versus Naito. Let's talk about the match that actually stole the show, Jeff. The American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, after coming off a devastating loss at Ring of Honor Final.
Dalton Castle, yeah.
Yeah, at Ring of Honor Final Battle, to lose his title and then to go and face Ibushi in a match where these two had never touched before. The anticipation for that was also maybe on the same level of a Jericho versus Kenny Omega. To me, that match, I went back and watched it because I said, like I told you before, I only saw certain parts and highlights of it and went back to see it. Wow, it's amazing where, you know, where did people think that Cody Rhodes, or Cody at this point, couldn't be a star on his own? It's amazing what he's done from the moment he left WWE, betting on himself, to where he is now. I'm not taking anything away from Ibushi, but I'm looking more focusing on Cody. Unbelievable how he's transitioned, and the word I guess we are using now is reinvent himself. That match, to me, if you had to pick a match that stole the show, that match stole the show.
Listen, props to Cody. I think him and Brandy are like the power couple right now in all of professional wrestling, including WWE. I don't know, a lot of people, like, I'm surprised some people didn't like the match. Going back on it, looking at it again, I think it, you know, it delivered really well. You can tell maybe Cody's on a slump right now after losing to Dalton and Kota Ibushi. See what happens to Cody's mentality as we head into the new year. What exactly
he's got to regroup.
You know, he's got to regroup. He's kind of a little bit on of a slide, so he's going to need to kind of put an end to that.
Well, despite the slump that he's on, Jeff, the quality of matches he's been putting on hasn't been a slump.
Oh, agreed.
It just hasn't been the outcome that people have expected to see.
Agreed. But again, you want to know if he's going to, you know, recover, and what exactly is his future in 2018 as far as, like, will he get the Ring of Honor Championship again? Will he compete in more New Japan shows? So that's going to be an interesting thing. A match that I liked was the Young Bucks and Roppongi 3K. Listen, you get what you get with the Young Bucks, man. It's you know what you're going to get. Roppongi 3K is one of those tag teams that are up and coming, and they are absolutely better chasing the titles from the Young Bucks. And congratulations to the Young Bucks, seven-time junior heavyweight tag team champions. So that's a feat in all itself. So I think that match was great. But again, everything was great. I mean, Jay White there against Tanahashi, you know, came close to becoming the Intercontinental Champion.
That match, to me, when I look back and watch it, was kind of one that maybe could have been put in the middle. Because, you know, for me, it was a good match. I'm not taking anything away from it. But it wasn't one that I was so emotionally invested into. Ultimately, we saw the end result of what happened. Jay White came up coming short. But still... that's the one I would probably put in the middle. You have had Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, then the IWGP Intercontinental title on the line, then the heavyweight title on the line.
And Marty Scurll gave it a great effort. Amazing entrance. So
he didn't lie that. When we spoke to him. It was going to be epic, and it was.
Yeah.
How he got those wings in through customs, I have no idea.
Yeah, so I mean, what would you give Wrestle Kingdom? What would you give it?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I would probably... The only reason why I'm giving it like an 8 is most likely because it's nitpicky. Depending on how you put the matches on the card would have been my biggest gripe on it. But in terms of quality, quality is dependent and defined by everybody's perspective on things. But if you're looking for hard work and guys that go in there and give it everything they have in an event like this, which is their quote-unquote WrestleMania... Everybody came out firing. Everybody had that one top the other mentality, and that's what you want for a promotion like New Japan. So to me, it was an 8. A couple things, obviously, you don't like about it, but at the same time, what a huge success. And like I said, it looking bright for 2018 with their trip back to Long Branch to California.
Long Beach.
It'd be pretty exciting.
I wish it was Long Branch, New Jersey.
Yeah, it's right down the road from us. We could just drive down there in 45 minutes. But it's really exciting to see what New Japan has in store right now, because now it seems like things are starting to become a little bit clearer of what's the next stages for guys like Naito, guys like Kenny Omega, guys like Cody Rhodes. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I give it an 8 as well. I think it's really hard to be the opening show of the new year and be like the World Series, like the WrestleMania, and open it up. And again, it's going to test it. It's going to, a lot of things are going to test it. But I think right now, solid 8. And I think it's going to be really amazing 2018 for New Japan Pro Wrestling. Really started off on a great note on January 4th. Wrestle Kingdom 12 knocked it out of the ballpark. Alpha versus Omega. But we thought there was going to be a one-off between Chris Jericho and Omega. We thought it was only going to be a one-time deal with Chris Jericho, but it turns out that it's not. We're going to get into that, but right now we're going to talk about up-and-coming tag teams, one of the best tag teams we've seen in 2017, and guys who have a bright future in 2018 are the Heavenly Bodies, the team of Desirable Dustin and Gigolo Justin. These two guys are brothers, actually, too, by the way, so they've had an amazing 2017, and I believe are going to have a great run, and you'll see them eventually on a TV near you. They are also one of the best tag teams in WrestlePro, and they will actually headline one of the matches on February the 3rd too for WrestlePro. So without further ado, one of the up and coming tag teams for WrestlePro, the Heavenly Bodies. Alright, WrestlePro here, Jersey Wrecking Crew, here's another tag team, one of the best tag teams out there.
Now, Jeff, I work out a lot, as you can tell, right? But I can't get anywhere near close to these guys.
No, this is a guy, they got muscles in places that we don't have places, as Jerry Lawler would say. Anyway, we've got Desirable Dustin and Gigolo Justin.
I love that name.
Very, very great names. If the wrestling thing doesn't work out, you definitely got strip club names. So, so we're here with the Heavenly Bodies. We've seen you from, I think, for over a year now. You guys are very talented. Let's talk about just the whole WrestlePro and how you guys got into wrestling.
Well, I started wrestling when I was 15 years old. And, wrestling, it not necessarily came naturally, but I started to grow a love for it. And when I started coming here and training at the school back when it was PWS, they brought it upon us to put me and my brother as a tag team. And from there, they put a trust in us to carry on the name of the Heavenly Bodies, blessed down to us by Dr. Tom Pritchard. And from there, we took it, we made it our own, and we've been traveling the world doing so. So it's been a big blessing coming here.
I started training in 2005 at IWF, and I was, by myself without my brother, and I was just a good wrestler lost in the shuffle. But it wasn't until I came here to WrestlePro, until I was given the Heavenly Bodies by Pat and Dr. Tom Pritchard, is to where we really found ourselves.
Now, of course, tag team wrestling, you guys have a lot of tag teams here. The depth, there's a lot of it in WrestlePro. When you guys started out, what tag teams did you guys try to emulate when you were, putting this together? And how did you guys realize that this was going to work when you two guys formed the tag team?
Well, we were first told that we were passed down the Heavenly Bodies persona, We studied a lot of old Heavenly Bodies matches from Smoky Mountain, from WWF, and we tried to emulate everything that they did, make it our own, but still keep that old school mentality of what worked back then and made it work now in the present day of wrestling. So from there, we've kind of made our own style and made our own reincarnation of the Heavenly Bodies, and that's what's taken us and skyrocketed us to be one of the top tag teams in wrestling now.
Something about me, guys, growing up, I loved tag team wrestling. I thought it was such a great art form. I actually enjoyed it more than singles competition because there's lots of tag team titles. It took a lot more work to be a team rather than an individual star. But the chemistry you guys have, it's uncanny. You see it in the ring. Can you just speak about that, too? Because the psychology that goes in there to work with another group of guys, whether it be a one-on-one tag team or a four-way or anything like that, what's the different mindset you have to have when you get in that ring mentally as for a tag team as opposed to an individual star?
Well, you have to always be on the same page, and he's actually my real brother, so we're always on the same page where a lot of people are just thrown together, and they're kind of, you know, they have their arguments, they have their ups and downs, and that's what separates everybody else from my brother and I.
So, okay, you guys are brothers. So at what age did you guys turn on catch wrestling and say, hey, this is something you want to do?
Oh, I've been watching wrestling since I'm about 4 years old. And it was, at first, you know, it was because of my father. I used to watch it. And at first, I used to be like, I don't want to watch. I don't like this. And then one day, it's just like, oh, my God, I'm obsessed. And that's all I thought about. That's all I watched. I used to not leave the house. I used to not go out and play Manhunt. People used to have to pry me from being inside because back then when we were little, there wasn't DVR there, and it was hard to record things.
Let me guess, you went to Blockbuster a lot to get those VHS tapes, right?
Yeah, of course. Good old Blockbuster.
And when it was, I remember back in the day, it was like WWE 24/7 on demand, and I used to actually, Justin used to tell me actually tape some of the documentaries and some of the shows that were on there, and we have a huge crate in our basement, literally filled to the top of all tapes, whether it's from that, whether it's from old stuff that Justin taped of old Raws and old. I think Justin has the whole library of WCW tapes in that crate downstairs. So I mean, we have a big collection of some of wrestling's greatest hits, basically.
All right, so continuing on the brother thing, how great is it that you get to work alongside your brother and get to do something that you guys love and. It's got
to
be great.
Yeah, so yeah. It's a blessing. And to be able to travel the world with my brother and to be able to experience everything that we've experienced and work some of the tag teams that we've been able to share the ring with, it really is a blessing. And I honestly would not pass that for anything. That to me, is making it. Me being able to share my dream.
And
our dream
waking
together,
up at this level, waking up at this level and being able to go to the airport and get on a plane with my brother. It never gets old. It really doesn't. It never gets old. Because that was one of the dreams too. Like to be like, oh, let me see. Like, are we gonna ever be flown out anywhere? And now it's happening. Currently, we wrestle for Reality Wrestle for Booker T at Reality Wrestling every month. Yep. So we travel to Texas, which is awesome. Awesome.
You know, with that being said, I mean, you guys keep yourselves in tremendous shape, and, you know, it's easy. You guys definitely have that passion and love. You guys are fans, kind of like Jeff and I, we're fans. I wouldn't say never grew out of it, because, again, why would you want to grow out of it? You have a passion for wrestling. That's why Jeff and I do the podcast. What's the difference in perspective from being a fan when you're 4 years old and actually being in the business? I mean, do you guys still work out? Do you still guys have those moments where you see one of your idols, for example, and you go back to that four-year-old? Or is it now more, this is my job and this is what I do and I'm a part of it?
Yeah, it definitely. This is my job. This is what I do, and we're a part of it. We look at it as when we're watching a match. Sometimes we're still fans, of course, but we watch a match to, hey, oh, maybe we could use this. Maybe we could do this. You know, we take bits and pieces from everyone, whether they're good or whether they're bad, whether we think, you know, they're not great in the ring or they're great. We could take stuff from everyone.
Yeah, literally everybody that's passed something on to us, we've taken and made it our own. And it's what separates me and my brother from a lot of other places. And we're told by numerous people they not necessarily wish they could work like the way we do, but we get away with we tell more of a story in the ring, and that's what I'm big on. I want to be able to reach out to somebody that's whether they're up 5 to 50 years old. I want to be able to reach them and have them understand what's going on in the story that we're telling in the ring, whether good or bad.
Speaking of selling a story, you have to sell yourself as well, too, as in social media right now is a great way to do it. You see teams like the Young Bucks that they, you know, they right now are the template for how to get yourself over. Everyone's dream is WWE, but, you know, it's not the end-all be-all as we're seeing right now. What do you guys have in store in the future as far as, you know, social media, getting your names out there, and as well as, you know, any other places that you guys have your eyes set on?
Well, my dream, of course, is WWE, of course. But now I'm looking at it as I just want to make a living off professional wrestling. I want it to be my only job. That's what I want to do. I want to wake up and make a living off professional wrestling. And unfortunately now I have a real job, and hopefully that changes soon.
Same thing. Any way, shape, or form I can make a living doing something wrestling related, whether it's wrestling or doing something behind the scenes, or doing something. I have a graphic design background, whether it's doing something graphically to give back, which I kind of do now. That to me would be making a living. Would be making a living off wrestling, and that's the end all. That's the end all say all. That's the goal for my brother and I, to be able to do that and say, this is what I do, and it's all because of wrestling.
You know, something I love about this, guys, is that in this business, it's so intense and so driven and so competitive that not everybody can do it, both mentally and physically. What do you guys do to get yourselves mentally ready for everything and obviously keep your bodies healthy enough to go do this day in and day out?
I wake up. I go to the gym every morning at 5 a.m. I'm always training hard. I'm always watching tapes. I'm always careful with what I do, especially in the ring, because at any given moment, we could get hurt, and that could keep us sidelined for a while. And unfortunately for me, I've never been hurt so bad to where I needed time off. In the 12 years I've been wrestling, I've never had time off, never, and I never want to take time off.
Yeah, same thing. I've never let anything stop me from wrestling. And what prepares me for it is I look at it as working smart and doing what works for us. And if I can't do something, I'll do something different that's going to make me stand out and that's going to work for what I do and the style that I do.
And finally, for me, guys, talking to the heavenly bodies right here, WrestlePro, you look around here, it's like a family environment. What makes WrestlePro one of the top independent places to be in New Jersey or just in the whole country?
It's very versatile. WrestlePro could offer you every type of wrestling that you want to see under one name. And whether it's bringing in legends of the past or bringing in lucha guys that could do a million different things that not everybody on the card could do or not everybody at the school could do, WrestlePro is very versatile in that aspect, and that's what makes working here so unique. Because a lot of the places that you go, they don't have that versatility. It's either one style or they try and emulate what somebody else is doing. What makes this work is bringing in the legends of yesterday, showing the stars of today, and developing their own brand that's going to make them stand out. And WrestlePro has stood out as one of the top independent promotions today, in my eyes.
Everywhere we go, there's always people that are contacting us, coming up to me and saying, hey, how could I get on WrestlePro? How can I get on WrestlePro? So for the most part, if they're not here, they want to be here.
Guys, the heavenly bodies, I can just tell you right now, they're driven. I can see it in their eyes. They're determined here, and they're going to put on a great show tonight.
I'm going to do some pull-ups over here in the corner.
Exactly,
in the back,
yeah.
Right? I got to get in shape like these guys.
Again, though, Desirable Dustin, Gigolo Justin, great names, I'm telling you right now. Heavenly bodies are going to be a name you're going to hear for a long, long time, and they were here on the High Spot Podcast. Thank you guys so much,
man. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, that was Desirable Dustin and Gigolo Justin. I'm telling you, man, if their tag team names don't work in wrestling, I'm sure there's a strip club, male strip club out there that will be welcome, open arms to the heavenly bodies.
Whatever you say, Jeff. That's funny how you mentioned that, too. But, yeah, give the nicknames, yeah. With nicknames like that, either you're
Well,
really
you'd be Bodacious Brian, and I'd be Gigolo
Bodacious
Jeff.
Bodacious Brian. Do you have to use a nickname that starts with the first letter of your first name? Is that like a rule you
Well, he's Desirable Dustin.
Gigolo Justin. I would be Gigolo Jeff or Jazzy Jeff.
Jazzy Jeff from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You worried about
like Bodacious
copyright
Brian.
Infringement there.
I like Bodacious Brian.
Bodacious Brian. Well, you know, thank you. I appreciate that. But no, you're right. Either way, it's going to be successful no matter what they decide to use their names for. But you're right. They're a young and upcoming tag team. You know, we've seen their line of work, especially in WrestlePro. So there's no doubt they can go in the ring. They've had great matches with all the tag teams in WrestlePro. And I'm sure on the independent circuit as well. So, you know, sky's the limit right now. You know me, I love the tag team division. I love how it built itself up because I think there you can kind of separate the next stars you're going to be, but at the same time building up a division, which I think right now, ever since the back in the 90s, maybe it's a little too far back when I'm mentioning it, but the days that I fell in love with tag team wrestling, it became kind of an art form of itself. It's kind of died down a little bit, so I'm excited to see guys like the Heavenly Bodies you know, take the tag team wrestling world by storm.
Yeah, you talk about brother tag teams as well, like the Hardy Boys, they're brothers, and then we talked to the Amazing Grecians a while ago, they're brothers, and then you have here the dynamic of brothers between Justin and Dustin here. So, I mean, it is a great dynamic because you do know each other more than you would if you just team up with some random person here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a blessing in disguise, I think, so in some ways. I mean, when you look at the Heavenly Bodies, the Amazing Graysons, you know, to name a few. Yeah, those are, you know, the Hardys you mentioned. Yeah, it's great, but I think sometimes it's also maybe a detriment because, you know, when you're with a partner, you're with a partner. You guys are kind of like family, but then you have that period of separation. You're not always around each other in a sense, or you have separate lives to go to. When you're brothers, you're always around yourself. So it does create that dynamic where, I mean, look at the Rougeaus. The Rougeaus hate each other, and, you know, they were brothers as well.
They do? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They can't stand each other.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and the mere fact that they were a tag team, and, you know, sometimes when you're around somebody for too long doing the same thing, regardless of the passion about it, eventually when they start breaking apart, and this is one of the downsides, I feel, of tag team wrestling, because you do find with who the stars are going to be or the next stars in terms of, you know, individual star, and that dynamic in terms of wanting to go out and venture on your own might be easier when you're tag team with just a partner and he can go his own route, rather when you're a brotherly tag team. When it comes to the point where one wants to go to the next level by themselves, that's where it becomes different.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
When you look at tag teams and, you know, we watch them or they're presented to us or they come on the show, do you automatically say, oh, this one's Marty, this one's Sean?
I don't know if I say this is Marty and this is Sean, but I look at them when I see them from a distance and then when we do interview them, and I can kind of tell after the interview, I won't say who, but I can kind of tell, this person I think could be a single star. Because that's the mentality you have to have.
But it's always the case, right?
It's always the case.
There's never two Seans.
No.
There's two Seans.
Very
rare. And we're talking about Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, of course, because that's what everyone gets linked to when you talk about tag teams going in different directions, you know. So that's for the people that wonder, oh, Marty and Sean, what are you talking about? Is it the Rockers? Yes, we're talking about the Rockers. I think it's very easy for me now as a fan and somebody that doesn't even have to see the work. I just see their charisma, and I see that. And, yeah, it's really easy for me to see which one's Marty and which one's Sean.
Well, in any team we've been around, one's the alpha of the team, the other one is the secondary
omega
part. Yeah, or is the omega of the team. Exactly. Very nice there. I was waiting for you to get that hint. You picked it up really good.
Yeah,
means our chemistry is picking up finally after about a year and a half. It finally took long enough.
107 episodes, my friend.
It only took long enough, right? But no, you're right. You instantly can kind of see that, and who's the leader of the team, who's not the leader. And that's not to say that somebody who's not the leader can't be the next star, but you see that dynamic. And that's why I always find it interesting when we talk to tag teams, because beknownst to them, when we talk to them, like, wow, we can tell who's really running things right now. And from there, you can kind of get an idea of where this team's going.
So, Marty, I mean, trendsetter, could you tell? Dude, you don't
know. I was
going
to call you Leaf Cassidy, but I didn't want to insult Al Snow.
Oh, man. Al Snow, we love you.
We love you.
Guest on the podcast, Collar and Elbow.
Great mind of professional wrestling.
Collar and Elbow for life.
Exactly.
But so we were talking about Chris Jericho, and we were wondering if that was it. And so the next day stops by, New Japan had...
Seemed like the next day because...
Seemed like the next day.
Just the following morning.
I lost track of the time. I lost track of days, you know, waking up that early.
Well, we thought it was one and done, Jeff, because after Wrestle Kingdom 12, there was a post-press conference, and Jericho was, you know, obviously giving some... praising Kenny Omega and the work that they had done for this co-main event, but then basically giving a middle finger to all the press in Japan saying, I'm never coming back to Japan because you all booed me. How dare you boo somebody like Chris Jericho, and walked off storming. So you think, all right, that's it. He's done his piece for New Japan. He did his one and done. He's gone.
perfect way to end it. But little did we know that he wasn't done. But that's the beauty of a guy like Chris Jericho and the beauty of his mindset, that, you know, he paints a picture for you to see, but then behind, like the magician, he's waving one hand for you guys to pay attention, and the other one he's holding the rabbit under his hat or something like that, whatever it makes sense. But, you know, he proved us wrong.
And what we mean by that is that he attacked Naito. There was verbal jabs that Naito was taking about, you know, whether there should have been a double main event, that he was a main event alongside Okada. Jericho was mentioning on his podcast, too, that, you know, he kind of felt a little bit insulted by Naito. And we all thought about it. It was like, okay, we were all focused on Omega and Jericho.
He was planting the seed.
He was planting the seed, and then you finally got it. Chris Jericho is not done. It seems like he will continue, and now he's going to feud with Naito. I love it, man. I love it. Chris Jericho is great for any organization. New Japan knows what they have in Chris Jericho now, and I mean, like, I'm all aboard. It's going to make it even more exciting as we head into March, into Long Beach for, you know, New Japan as they head in there. It's going to be amazing, man. Chris Jericho makes everything better, and he's rejuvenated. He's had a great time in Japan. Looks like he's reborn, and I love this Jericho. I love this side of Chris Jericho, and, I mean, I'm all for it, man. Anything he does is gold right now.
It is. It also has to make sense, and Jericho's always admitted it during interviews. You know, for me to come back to WWE or to come back to wrestling, it has to make sense because he's very creative. He's not necessary for him going in there and physically doing the matches and going there to, you know, for a certain amount of dates just get paid. He doesn't need to. It needs to be creatively stimulating for him. And, you know, right now, what organization makes the most sense? What organization I feel has the momentum right now to really, you know, rocket off this in 2018 and really make some noise? That's New Japan Wrestling. And, you know, his relationship with Japan, how he badly wanted to go over there during his early stages in his career and made a name for himself in Mexico as Corazon de Leon, and then obviously going to Japan and making names for himself there with guys like Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, Dean Malenko. He's like, that's kind of like a second home to him.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I want to say one thing. The man has earned it. We know what his values are. We know what his standards are. If Chris Jericho wants to post a freaking photo of him, Eddie, and Chris Benoit, then so be it. Let the man do it.
It's basically his fan art that he used as an homage to pay respects to his fallen brothers.
It's a free freaking country. We know what Jericho had, his relationships were with Eddie and Chris. He said it on his Instagram. And you know, he didn't have to address it.
No, he didn't.
Because of some fool that has to be politically correct. Yeah, we know what Chris Benoit did. You know what I mean? We kind of say here, oh, you know, the man that doesn't exist, you know, whatever. We say it here, you know, and we know what he did. But for you to be on your high horse and criticize Chris Jericho for, the man had a friendship with him, okay? But first and foremost, you know, he had a past with him. They are brotherhoods. And one thing is, as heinous as the act, and as much as you want to condemn Chris Benoit, to some of the people, that's a brother. That's a somebody else. So whatever Chris Jericho thinks of Chris Benoit, that fan art should not in any way make it seem like Chris Jericho is condoning anything that Chris Benoit did, because he'll be the first to tell you that it makes him sick to his stomach. He doesn't understand it. And, you know, he still can't believe that Chris could do that, but still he realizes what Chris did. So, I mean, for anyone to criticize Chris Jericho for liking something or retweeting something that involves Chris Benoit, you know, leave it alone. The man can post whatever the hell he wants. It's a free country, and you should know Chris Jericho by now, and he is not promoting anything that Chris Benoit did. And just shame on you, Ryan Satin. I'll say it right there. Shame on you.
You know, I get it, and my mindset was that I don't think Chris Jericho should even mention the name, nor should you have mentioned the name, because, again, you just give that person publicity for no apparent reason. Now, but again, to each their own, and Chris Jericho's right, and, you know, nowadays you don't need to explain yourself to anybody, because if people don't understand it at this point in Chris Jericho's career of what he's done, how he's entertained us, and the length that he has to, you know, entertain the fans, then you're never going to understand it. So, in my opinion, I agree with Chris Jericho, I agree with you. But a lot of that doesn't have to be addressed because, you know, it's just a waste of time. Most people just will never get it. So moving on from that.
So moving on from that, there is some tension between the Bullet Club also from the next day, as Cody Rhodes is going to get retribution on Ibushi, and the Bullet Club is ready to pounce on Kota Ibushi. They're about to hit him with the chair, and then Kenny Omega comes out and he puts an end to that, and he kind of pushes Cody and tells him, do not put your hands on my former tag team partner from DDT, a guy that I have tons of history with, a guy that I have unfinished business with, and hopefully we see a match between Omega and Ibushi somewhere down the road, but a guy that Kenny Omega stuck his neck out for and kind of started a little rift between Cody Rhodes, a little push back and forth at the end. Cooler heads prevailed. The Bullet Club kind of, you know, cease and desisted out of the ring. And, you know, it left Kenny Omega there as a savior, saving Kota Ibushi. Now, is there a rift now between the Bullet Club? Does Kenny Omega have a soft spot for Kota Ibushi? What did you take out of that?
What I took out of it was that if we're going to talk about rift, they've been building up this rift between Cody Rhodes, I'll call him Cody Rhodes, and Kenny Omega for a while now. Is going to happen anytime soon? That could be the direction people are going to think it's going to go in terms of Kenny Omega and Cody Rhodes, but I think it's way too early for that to happen. I mean, we've been watching it in Being the Elite. We've watched that in terms of what's been going on with the history of the Bullet Club and how there seems to be no unison there, because when you really look at the two entities, and there actually are two entities, guys, as much as we're fans of the Bullet Club and how it was kind of formulated, emulated by Fergal Devitt, Finn Balor, and, you know, Gallus and Anderson, guys like that, you know, the Elite is kind of a separate entity.
Yeah, they've branched off. Yeah.
So there has been division for quite a long time. Now I think it's reaching ahead, but I still feel like they're kind of putting down, you know, the layers of this scenario where I think eventually we will get something going on between Cody and Kenny Omega. I don't think just now, because I think right now with something like Ibushi, I mean, Kenny and Ibushi would be an awesome match to see right now. But do I think there's rift? Yes, but I don't think we're going to see the end result of it anytime soon.
So we think it's just planting the seed so that we remember that there's issues between Cody and Kenny Omega.
Because even Adam Cole was introduced to the Bullet Club, and now Cody came into the Bullet Club. It wasn't a smooth transition. There was still some heat between Kenny, who, you know, quote unquote, doesn't claim himself to be the leader, but yet people look at him as he is the leader. And so he has kind of, maybe from the experiences of Adam Cole, kind of some preconceived notions of Cody, and that's already led to the rift between the two of them.
Now, we've got one more issue to reach on the whole New Japan last couple days, but we'll get to that after we talk with Team Espana, another up-and-coming tag team, Hose A and Hose B. Amazing,
gotta love those names.
Amazing names, really representing all soccer teams out there, too. Really very talented team that we also had an eye on 2017 in WrestlePro. Really did a great job. And again, they have a bright future heading into 2018. So we were able to talk to Team Espana, Jose and Jose B. But before we get to that interview real quick, let's talk about Collar and Elbow. It is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion. From cool-looking flex-fit caps to great-looking men's and women's shirts, check out the entire winter fashion line, including brand new long sleeve shirts and hoodies. You got to go to collarxelbowbrand.com. Save 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST. Hey, that's our show. All in caps. Get 2018 started off the right way. It's Collar and Elbow. And now, without further ado, Team Espana joins the High Spot Podcast. Ole! All right, from one tag team here, the Jersey Wrecking Crew, to another tag team, Team Espana. I love your guys' name, Jose and Jose B. Listen, coming from two Latin guys here, we appreciate the thought into those names. How you guys doing? Team Espana joining the High Spot Podcast.
Hola, guys. What's up, man?
How you doing, man?
That's it, Jose, Jose B. Like you said, we're taking that joke, you know, that stupid joke that we always hear. We're embracing it. We're making it us.
Making
you know
us,
what I mean? For
yeah.
the people. We're making it us, for yeah. us, by us, and just doing what we do.
That's right.
So how did the tag team come about? You know, for example, a lot of people, again, in this business, obviously everybody wants to be an individual star, so it takes a lot of talent to bring two teams together. What was the formation of the team, and where did the idea come from?
Well, originally, he's my cousin. So we grew up. He's my cousin. You Spanish. He's my cousin, but he's not my cousin, you know? So
we all related. We all related.
So it came about, we were training together. We always hung out together. And the powers that be here kind of saw that and, you know, said, what do you guys, what makes you, what makes you unique? So we love soccer. We love wrestling. And the Jose Jose B thing kind of came around as a joke. And
we made it work.
And it made it work. And we just got in the ring one day as a team, and because we were trained together, you know, we were.
Yeah, we
you got
together,
cousins, you got brothers, you fight sometimes, you know. So,
but it's all love.
but it's all love. So they put us together as a team. Sometimes, you know, with family, you hit them the hardest, but they, you also know they got your back.
Yep. So
this, what you guys have on, your attire, it looks very well thought out. How long did you guys, you know, plan on doing this to perfect the whole, the gear as far as also with your team name? How long did that take?
That was one of those things we struggled with for a while. We tried different colors. We liked these colors, and we kept it going. Right?
You know, España, everyone, if you're Spanish, you have a little bit of Spain in you.
Yep.
No matter what. So we kind of, in order to get everybody together, that was the one thing we kind of said, hey, let's go with Spain. Let's do that country. Let's do that culture.
It represents all different Spanish.
Exactly. Right? And so we watch soccer when we're not wrestling. We watch wrestling when we're not watching soccer. So it was like if two soccer players came to wrestling, got in the ropes and wanted to fight and wanted to lucha, wanted whatever you want to call it, what would they look like? How would they do it? And
you get us.
And that's how you get Jose and Jose.
So there's a Vince McMahon story where they were trying to make Aldo Montoya into a soccer player. And they were talking about, okay, does he play soccer? Mm-hmm. And like, we don't think so. So how is he going to be a soccer player? Do you guys play some soccer at all, or are you guys just fans of and watch it?
Wow. So whenever we would play soccer growing up, we would always kind of get into fights with each other or with other people. So we did play. I used to play. Jose would watch and he would play a little bit. He was better at it than I was.
I wouldn't say I was better, but you know, I was very good.
But he kind of didn't take it seriously. But we played a little bit, but not enough for us to kind of say, you know, when we're done with school or when we grow up, we want to be soccer. It was never we want to be soccer players. It was more when we grow up, we want to be, you know, we wanted to be wrestlers. We wanted to be fighters.
It's more the soccer influence.
Yeah.
It's in the ring as opposed to the other way.
When talking about soccer and watching it, when you watch wrestling, what guys got you into wrestling? What made you guys be like, wow, this is something that I want to do, maybe not as a tag team in the beginning, but then when you're like, I love wrestling, what got you into it?
So for me personally, I've always loved tag team wrestling. I love guys like Los Guerreros or Edge and Rey Mysterio at the time. And you could even say RVD and Rey Mysterio for that short period, and then Rey and Eddie. We can just mix and match all of those names. But that was the teams that I was looking at and guys I was looking at coming up.
So for me, because I'm a little older, you know, No, I remember for me it was guys like Shawn Michaels. It was Razor Ramon. It was I like the 1-2-3 Kid. I mean, Bret Hart was there. He wore pink, and when I was a kid, pink wasn't... It wasn't a color to wear, so I thought it was stupid. But so for me, it was like Shawn Michaels, the new generation, like that. Those guys kind of got me into, like, oh, what is this? Oh, this is wrestling. So
now Jeff mentioned, and you know, Jose said that he loved tag team wrestling. I'm a huge fan of it. I think that's where you see the true art of tag team wrestling, which a lot of people think it's all about singles competition. Tag team wrestling can be just as special when, you know, back in the day when the WWE titles meant a lot back then and they weren't split like they are now. How can you speak of the difficulty go psychologically to work with another team in there as opposed to working there in singles competition?
Well, I think as a tag team, it's an art form, and it's very difficult because you have to know what your brother is thinking before he does it.
Yes.
And your brother has to know what you're thinking before he does it. And I say the word brother because that's who, he's my cousin, but he's my brother too, you know? I know what he's going to do before he does it because I know how he's going to react to something. He might think it's funny, he might think it's mad, but I know what he's going to do.
Both times I think it's funny. I like the funny.
And so, therefore, since I know what he's going to do, I can now, you know, do something and he knows how I'm going to react to it. When you put two single guys together, they may look cool or have cool moves, but ultimately it's not, you're a team, but you're also together.
Yeah, singles guys aren't going to be on the same page as we are. Mm-hmm. We're a unit. We do everything together. We share a brain almost like,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to singles guys. That's the difference, I think, in everything.
And I've heard people say, you know, oh, when you wrestle and you're doing this match, you have four minds, you know, coming at it for strategy and for offense and for defense. Yes, that is true, but it's, we share a brain. As dumb as that makes us sound, I know what he's thinking. and he's going to say something, and I could add to it, or I could maybe take some stuff away that I think won't work, and vice versa. Normally, he's more right 90% of the time.
Yes.
But every now and again, Jose B will get, you know, his stuff in.
But I'm not Ace for no reason, all right? Just leave it at that.
That's why he's Jose and I'm Jose B.
What tag teams do you try to emulate, or at least have use a template for, and be like, this is what we want to do currently? What tag team would that be?
Los Guerreros. Like, their family, the way we were family,
Heart Foundation
is a big one. The Rockers. Obviously, everyone is going to say the Rock and Roll Express, the Midnight Express. Yes. So that goes without saying. Who am I forgetting?
Personally, World's Greatest Tag Team.
The World's Greatest Tag Team. Shelton Benjamin and Carlos Haas.
Carlos Haas.
Charlie Haas, then. What, here, tag team titles obviously is very important. You have your eyes set on that prize on the tag team titles?
Oh, see, 100%.
It doesn't matter who has it. Team España is always watching that match. If we're in the match, obviously. If we're not in the match, that is something we have our eyes on 100% of the time, 24/7.
Obviously, you guys' mindsets are on the tag team championships. Why else would you be here, too? I mean, if you don't want to be a champion, you're in this business for a particular reason. That being said, in 2017, now going leading, before you know it, would be 2018. What can we look forward to for Team España?
Bigger and better things. You know, we're trying to, the Bodega Boys, we're trying to grow the brand. The brand is strong.
We're trying to grow our brand.
That's it. Exactly. Right. So we're trying to obviously get our names out there, go to different states, I know everyone says the East Coast, but
we want
to
branch out.
We want to go everywhere.
East Coast all the way through España.
Any plans overseas maybe?
If they let us in, yeah, we'll go, of course.
I want to come back.
That's the problem. When it's not the going away, it's the coming back that we get worried about, especially, you know, with the president that we have. But, you know, in terms of plans, obviously for us, you know, we're at a WrestlePro show. WrestlePro for us was the first place that gave us a break. They helped train us. They helped us with our English, both, you know, English outside, English in the ring. And so for us, this will always be kind of a home away from home type of thing.
You guys feel that wrestling is a universal language? Like when you go in there, for example, and say somebody doesn't speak English, you guys can communicate without really communicating.
Oh, 100%. 100%. We could... We have gone in there. We have been in the ring with guys that you know don't really speak the language, or you know have trouble. You hear the woos. That's my favorite part of any wrestling show. Woos. If they don't speak the language, it's not an English. It's not a Spanish. It's not a.
It's its own language.
And anybody that's in the ring speaks that language.
Yes.
Listen, and wrapping up here, because you know we can't take your time up all the time, because we have fans here that want they want Team España as well. So in closing, Coach D, what does he add to your group? I mean I've seen him come in and just adds a dynamic to you guys. What are your thoughts on him?
That man has changed our lives. That man is a gift. And you know, we love him. He's there when we need him. He's another mentor to us. When we need him, he's motivation.
Yeah, he's taught us like more about the culture of America. Hola, señor. Hola, señor. Papá. And this is, sorry, I know this is a podcast. We are saying hello to people. Sorry, but Coach D, he's a mentor. He's a friend. He's an uncle figure. He gives us the perspective of someone that's a little older, that's maybe been there, done that, and has also kind of showed us the way that it's okay. Sometimes, and I know this might not be popular. It's okay not to be liked by everyone.
Yeah.
It's okay for people to go, you know, you suck. It's okay for people to boo.
As long as you get your job done, that's what he shows us.
And respect, basically.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
You put in the work, you respect, and it doesn't matter if people like you or they don't like you, they can't deny you.
That's right.
Team España, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. They have a surprise or two in store for us here tonight. Thank you guys so much, man, and continued success.
Gracias.
Gracias. Make sure you follow us at Play Team España.
Instagram.
Twitter, the Facebook, Google Play Team España. You'll see Jose, Jose B.
You'll find us.
Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, that was Jose and Jose B. And yes, really, that is their tag team names. Team España on the High Spot Podcast. Another dynamic, another good team. Have a great gimmick, great concept. And it's great to find out exactly, you know, how they came about it. And a team that in 2018 has a bright future.
Yes, a bright future. But I think it's also a bright future not just for Team Hispania, but for the tag team divisions. We spoke to the Heavenly Bodies, Team Hispania. It's really, to me, nice to see like this tag team division, not just in WrestlePro, but when you go down the indie scene, you see these tag teams, you know, where we go to Pro Wrestling Magic or Battle Club Pro, for example, just use those promotions as examples, that the tag team, the fan interaction, the fan investment into the tag team wrestling has come back, I feel, a little bit too. So it's great to see what's going to happen in 2018. Both these teams that we just spoke to, the Heavenly Bodies and Team Hispania, but basically show you that passion they have for professional wrestling. And if you're a fan, you're going to enjoy their work.
Yeah, and of course, WrestlePro returns February the 3rd. Already have a packed lineup. Of course, you saw the matchup between Alberto El Patron and Eli Drake on the January 4th show of Impact on Pop TV. Really great match we were there to witness. And there is a partnership now for 2018, I believe, between Impact Wrestling and WrestlePro. So you're going to see more of a collaboration. It starts all February the 3rd. You'll have Emma there, now called Tennille from WWE. She will be there. Main eventing against
Angela Love.
So that is amazing, too. And you're going to have the star from Impact Wrestling in there. It is going to be a loaded show, just like Wrestle Kingdom. Wrestle Kingdom has come early for WrestlePro because their first match, at their first card on the Rahway Center is going to be one you cannot miss. And it is February the 3rd at the Rahway Center in New Jersey. We will be there, too, supporting WrestlePro and getting the sights and sounds once again. But make sure you also go to our YouTube channel, check our interviews with Alberto El Patron, actually a few minutes before his matchup with Eli Drake. And we also spoke to the new Impact Wrestling Tag Team Champions, LAX, Ortiz and Santana. It was really a great conversation. Really really gelled there, all of us there. The Jersey Wrecking Crew finally met LAX.
Well, I think that whole event, we had the whole Latin thing going on. We had Alberto El Patron, and then we had LAX. So I think
there's
camaraderie amongst our Hispanic brethren, Jeff.
Yeah, also make sure you can listen to us on the B Plus Player Radio Network, as well as the Shining Wizards Network, too. They start their 2018 in fashion, too. And, you know, we love promoting all the shows that they have on there. You got Destruction 101. You've got Drink with Gino, which, you know, Gino, please make more shows. You kind of stopped in the middle of somewhere, and I have no idea, you know, when you're coming back, but hopefully we'll hear more from A Drink with Gino, too. And they have amazing, great shows also. They also have a kicking ass podcast with Braxton Sutter, which is an amazing show. So definitely,
boy, Sean Donovan.
Yeah, I think I have a little
you should
a little
know.
Cameo
a
there.
Little investment there with this show.
Yeah, but great
genuine
shows.
Taste of wrestling.
Great shows on the B Plus Player Radio Network with Mark Adam Haggerty. Of course, Shining Wizards, thank you so much for your support.
And thank
here's
you.
To 2018. Happy New Year, guys. Everybody that puts on High Spot Podcast, we want to thank them all. One last thing, man. Kenny Omega kind of had a great day at Wrestle Kingdom, but kind of had egg on his face the next day at Dash for New Japan Pro Wrestling, because he kind of, as soon as he fended off the rest of Bullet Club, he had an announcement to make. He said that there's so much infighting between the Bullet Club that there's only one thing that could help making it right, and that is by the introduction of new blood, I guess. And without pointing to the vein like Triple H did when he brought out X-Pac, Switchblade was supposed to be the answer for Kenny Omega and Bullet Club. He came out, Jay White, and was supposed to be the next member of Bullet Club. We thought it was going to happen. Everyone was going crazy. And then, of course, Switchblade would rather turn on Kenny Omega than join the Bullet Club. And, man, does that set up another interesting concept. Could Jay White be the next in line to face Kenny Omega for the United States Heavyweight Championship?
It just leaves it wide open. I mean, you'd think right now that's going to be the build-up, because even during the introduction, before he officially offered a spot in the Bullet Club to Jay White, the comparisons where he even said that he knew his potential. He knew that, you know, Jay White was the version of the cleaner Kenny Omega back in 2015. So a lot of comparisons too. You know, if Jerry Lawler was here, it'd be like that old lion, that young lion type of scenario. Although we hate to think Kenny Omega is old, he is getting up there. He is in the prime of his career. So it's kind of interesting to see the fact that, you know, Kenny working with a guy like Jay White in the future, maybe he will be the next contender for the IWGP US title. It would be interesting to see that dynamic, because, you know, it's mirroring. It'd be maybe the equivalent of like Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. I think it was 19. So, yeah, that would be interesting to see. I definitely would have to see that. I mean, I think both could do great stuff in the ring. But plus, their ideas, their mindset, their creativity of what they do in terms of their character would be off the chain.
I predicted Jay White would be the next breakout star. And I didn't think although I kind of, you know, favored Jay White beating Tanahashi, I thought that he'd make a great showing, and I thought that he did. And now he has an opportunity, if, you know, it is indeed the route they go to with having Omega take on Jay White, Switchblade, at Long Beach in March. I think that's a great way to go. But I tell you, man, he's up and coming. He is going to be a breakout star for New Japan in 2018. So we talked about up and comers in tag team as far as what we've seen in Team España and the Heavenly Bodies. We want to thank them for joining us here on the High Spot Podcast too. But also want to let you guys know, check out The Adventures of the Trendsetter on our YouTube channel. It is Brian Berger, the Trendsetter, at Exotica. He's got a couple more episodes coming out pretty soon.
More than a few.
We're dying to see what you have. And also, the Trendsetter wants to make an announcement of epic proportions.
Oh, yes, epic proportions for The Adventures with the Trendsetter. Now, if you guys have enjoyed the videos, I know Jeff has, of my trip to Exotica. In 2017, November, back in Edison, New Jersey, where I have interviews with Jessa Rhodes, you guys can listen to, Angela White and Lena Paul, which has hit almost like 3,000 hits and people have viewed it. So thank you guys so much for watching that, and really hope you enjoyed, not necessarily me talking, but obviously enjoyed the people that I interviewed, you know, the sights and sounds of Exotica. But a huge announcement too, that something I was taking a risk on, kind of with Exotica, I kind of took a chance to see, hey, could we cover it for the High Spot Podcast? And I thank Exotica for allowing me to do that. And reaching out to the AVN Awards coming January 27th, folks. And if you don't know what that is, it's basically the Emmys, the Golden Globes, the Super Bowl of the adult film industry. And I was thinking to myself, you know, with talking to some of the talent that I interviewed at Exotica, they're like, well, you know, that's the biggest. That's where all the stars are going to be. That's where, like, it's literally the start of their new year, somewhat of like their Wrestle Kingdom in a way, where they have everybody out yeah. there, the sights and sounds, right? If everybody that you know in the world in the adult film industry is going to be there. So I said to myself, maybe I would just, you know, peruse and see if I could possibly get an invitation to get down there and have a press pass to do it. So basically I put all my eggs in one basket, and now it's official, folks, that the Jersey Wrecking Crew, the High Spot Podcast, will be at the AVN Awards starting January 24th all the way to January 27th in Las Vegas, Nevada. It'll be the first time for me, the Trendsetter, and Jeff Martin in Las Vegas. So it'll be kind of interesting to document that. It won't just necessarily be just interviews, but you'll see us documenting our way to the event, around the areas, all the sights and sounds. And it'll be pretty interesting from a different dynamic. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to be covering all the adult exposés out there. This one kind of just made sense because it was the biggest one at the end of the year. AVN Awards is like their huge show. So I wanted to be a part of it and get more interviews, basically maybe catch up with some of the interviewees that I had for Exotica and maybe dive down to the road there, giving you another perspective and insight in the adult world industry.
But it's not, but let's just say one thing though. The Trendsetter is not an adult entertainment show that he's doing. This is part of it. It's a guy's show, and lots of people have, you know, done shows where they go to these you know, the cons, which is the one that you had Exotica in New Jersey, and the one, the AVN in Vegas. It's not a porn show from the Trendsetter. He's just having guests on. It's a guy show where guys like tits and ass. So that's a great thing. But it's not, you know, Trendsetter is going to be talking to other people in the entertainment field. So just to get the idea that it's not.
Well, no, I don't think they're getting that impression, Jeff. I just wanted to implement the reason why I'm doing it, and so it's going to be exciting. And so, you know, things like Comic-Con are definitely events I want to go to.
Yeah, exactly. Anything, that's basically what it is. Yeah.
We're going to be attacking. So this just made sense. I'm glad. I am very thankful for AVN for allowing us to go down there to cover this event. So I hope you guys enjoy it as well. So the big announcement in 2018 is that, you know, the Jersey Wrecking Crew will be in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I can't wait to do it, man.
It's going to be exciting, man. And then also make sure you'll be getting your episodes as well to the Jersey Wrecking Crew. We'll not be taking any time off as far as giving you episodes. It's going to be more work for the Trendsetter.
It's going to be a busy 2020.
It's going to be work for the Trendsetter. He can't stand on his phone and start playing with his YouTube, and he's actually going to have to get some work done on deadline time. So it's going to be...
Yeah, which Jeff would have no idea what that about.
I don't know what that's like. I just show up in a mic and that's it. That's all I do. But
yeah, do about 15 takes and then we're good.
Ouch. 2018, airing of grievances. But no, yes, Trendsetter, amazing job. The hustle is real here at the High Spot Podcast. And also, we will be on the
Hustle is real and never ends.
We'll be on the Jared Cruise in October. Looking forward to that. Seeing what
Jeff couldn't wait to make that announcement, folks, as you could tell. Because, like, Jeff, let's wait till the beginning of the new year to make, oh, I can let everybody know. And you guys know we'll be part of the Jared Cruise, and that's going to be, you know, as exciting as it's going to be, Jeff, we're going to be in the Bahamas. It's also going to be another day of in the day in work for us, because we're becoming so much events that's going on, not only music and rock and roll, but Ring of Honor is going to be there as well.
I know, and the way it's going, like, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll be able to hang out with the guys from Busted Open a little bit, but the way they're dwindling down, it'll just be Dave LaGreca and us, so.
Hey, I wouldn't mind, and, you know, we're good friends with Dave LaGreca, and we've loved everything he's done. We've been huge fans of him, and
yeah, they'll be on the cruise, too, so that's going
to
be awesome.
That as well, so we'd love to have Dave on the show as well.
Definitely, we must get him before we set sail to Nassau on October 27th. So looking forward to that. So much coming up here for the Jersey Wrecking
Nassau
Crew.
County?
No, Nassau, the Bahamas.
Oh, okay.
The island of Nassau. Yeah, man. Nassau, Long Island. It's no freaking
gonna
trip.
Work on your tan?
Listen, this cold is ridiculous. I'm done. I'm about to check out.
But when you think about it, it's in October, right? So we're going to be dealing with the same thing coming back.
You know what I noticed? And I don't want to rain on your parade.
What?
But it is, September is kind of, October is the, I guess, end of hurricane season. Yeah. But I always thought, like, I'm a little nervous.
Knock on wood, it continues.
Knock on wood too, right? But it's gonna be interesting. My first time at sea, so I have no idea what it's gonna be like. I have no idea if I'm gonna get seasick. I have no idea. It's gonna be scary. I don't know, man. Like, in the dark and you're walking around. I don't know.
Well, first of all, if it's dark and you're walking around the deck for some reason, God bless you, Jeff.
You're not gonna walk around.
No, nah, how are we gonna get to my cabin room?
How are we gonna get to places? Most things happen at night.
Yeah,
the Ring of Honor.
It's not outside in terms of the deck. It's not gonna be out there. It's gonna be all indoors. What do you think the ring's going to be at on the deck in the open sea where, you know, people can fall off and go
overboard?
That's what
Jericho said.
Okay. Well, let's see.
They have, the deck is big enough to put a ring on there and have people sitting there.
Okay. Well, I've been on the Staten Island Ferry before and I didn't get seasick, so I'm assuming that's the same thing.
It's going to be crazy. All this to see Randy in a bikini, right? It's be crazy.
See who in a bikini?
To see Brandy Rose.
Oh, okay. They said Randy. Like, who's Randy?
Randy, baby.
Brandy. Yes. Course, that's worth the price of admission.
And then January 20th, we will be doing our first commentary for Pro Wrestling Magic.
That'll be exciting. But not just necessarily that we're doing commentary, Jeff. But it's a great card. It's the beginning of the year. You know, it's funny how you mentioned, like, WrestlePro. The way the end of the year was so huge, where they're covering it, and now how they're starting 2018. You know, not even stopping, going even above and beyond. Pro Wrestling Magic had a great way of ending 2017 and at 2018 again with Domino. It's going to be really cool to do it, but also to see the card as well. So going to have to separate being a fan and being a commentator at the same time.
We got
to
practice our Rumble calls, because one of the main events is going to be the Memorial Battle Royal. So
yeah,
how good are you with your Royal Rumbles?
How am I good? I'm good at watching them. How good am I commentating? I guess we'll find, we'll find out January 20th, Jeff. I'm not afraid. Are you nervous?
I think we're going to hit out of the ballpark, man. I think we're going to do a great job.
One of these things, it's either going to be a grand slam home run or a grand slam bunt, one of the two. So
as long as you get the runners home, that's all I care about.
Exactly.
And then, of course, MLW 0 Hour is on Thursday. So a lot of wrestling coming up, too. It's going to be Jimmy Havoc against our boy Shane Strickland in the main
event.
Before
you know it, also we'll be in March, too. In March, it's going to be basically Battle Club Pro as well, you know, coming back to New Jersey. And that's going to be an exciting event to be part of. And then, guys, when we're done with that, it's going to be on the plane again to New Orleans, on Bourbon Street, and WrestleMania as well. So it's really
going to get to February.
Time.
February is the worst month, I think.
Why is
it? After the Super Bowl, then you have like that month where just like nothing happens.
So after the Super Bowl, that's when you start saying, when do pitchers and catchers report to Florida?
That's what I say. Mm-hmm. So, no, man, we want to thank the Team España and Heavenly Bodies for being on the show this week. And
thank
again,
WrestlePro.
Thank you, WrestlePro. Thank you, Battle Club Pro. Thank you, Pro Wrestling Magic. We will see you on the 20th.
Thank you, AVN.
Thank you, AVN. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Trendsetter. Thank you, your crew out there.
Well, wait, one thing I want to ask you before we go, Jeff, and I don't mean to cut you off. How excited are you to go to Las Vegas, Nevada to cover this event? Now, you've seen what I've covered in Exotica. Are you looking forward to seeing like all the conventions feeling type? Like
I want to help you out, my man, because you did it all that day. You were cameraman. You were lighting guy. You were mic guy. So I want to, you know, make it the best possible for you to you know, put the stuff out there. So I'm looking forward to that too.
Nice.
And so that's really what I am looking forward to doing, is helping you out, man, because just even what you Thank did you. By yourself was freaking good. So just imagine if you had an extra pair of hands there to help you with the camera work. So looking forward to that. And then again, next week, we got a great show for you, because we not what we found, but this is kind of like a great wrestling promotion, Capital Wrestling, locally here in Hoboken, New Jersey. He is making a lot of names out there, led by Matthew Ryan, who, if you heard him, very, very creative mind, was on Eric Bischoff MLW podcast before. He's very detailed. He's got his stuff going on together. It is a well-run machine at Capital Wrestling. He will join us next week, kind of put a recap on 2017 and World War IV, which happened on December 29th from Hoboken, New Jersey. He's going to talk about that and the outlook of 2018. Already has a great show lined up for February 10th, so we're looking forward to attend to that and maybe get some sights and sounds for there. But next week's show, we've got Matthew Ryan of Capital Wrestling will be on High Spot Podcast. Looking forward to talking to Matt.
Yes, Jeff, definitely looking forward to seeing that. And guys, looking forward to talking to you guys next week. You guys have been listening to High Spot Podcast. Make sure you like us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at High Spot Podcast, as well as like us on Facebook, our YouTube channel, High Spot Podcast, as well as highspotpodcast.com, our brand spanking new website. Make sure you guys check it out. We will see you guys next week. Enjoy it. Stay warm. Stay safe.
Oh, stay warm, guys. Please
stay warm. Stay warm. Don't get sick. And remember, the weekends are for the crew.